as an individual contributor, you were really able to focus on what your work was. As a leader, as you move into management and leadership positions, you're getting work done through people. And so as you're getting work done through people, those people who are making decisions about that next level of leadership for you are looking at, can they bring people along? Do they inspire people? Do we see them as having that executive presence?
Welcome to Management Development Unlocked, where you will learn how to nurture a world-class management team. And now your host, Eric Girard.
Welcome back to Management Development Unlocked. I am overjoyed that you are here. I'm Eric Girard, and I'm the CEO of Girard Training Solutions, a management development firm that focuses on helping new managers transform from high-performing individual contributors to great people managers. I also have an Amazon number one best-selling book called Lead Like a Pro, The Essential Guide for New Managers. And this show has over 2,000 listeners and is a global top 10% podcast. Today, I am delighted to have Alexa Chilcutt with me. Alexa, welcome to the show. Who are you and what do you do?
Thank you. I am someone who loves to work with professionals, much like yourself, because I understand that giving them kind of the skill set that they feel like there's a gap, right? I'm here. Where do I want to be? I'm recognizing that. So I teach executive education for Johns Hopkins Carey Business School and Texas Christian University. I'm also an executive coach, and I'm a very practical, applied person. And that's kind of why I made the transition from academia to really working one-on-one with professionals.
Well, I would say that that is much needed. So glad you're on our side.
Yes, me too.
Yeah. Awesome. Great. Well, today, Alexa and I are going to chat about developing an executive presence. And I thought that this was just so important, especially for new managers, folks who are new in their roles. If you're in your late 20s, early 30s, or even if you're more experienced, developing an executive presence, I think, is just going to be huge for you. So I'll let Alexa tell the story, and we'll talk a little bit about how this can benefit you. So, Alexa, my first question is at the top. What is executive presence?
That is a great question to start with. And I think people have heard the term executive presence, but there's a lot of ambiguity around it and uncertainty. And in fact, the Center for Talent Innovation found that most people who get feedback on, let's say, at a job performance review, that they lack executive presence, that 81% of those individuals say that the feedback they get is contradictory and confusing and that they don't know how to improve. So they're not given any real, this is why we don't see you as exhibiting executive presence. So it's confusing, right? So what is executive presence? What we think about executive presence over the past has been things like charisma, appearance, communication skills. What we know about it now is that it is really, you've got short-term impressions like displaying confidence, appearance, communication, engagement, and then you have long-term impressions, evaluations over time, which are more about your values in action, integrity as a leader, outcome delivery, expertise. And so what I love about that is it's not all kind of show of executive presence. It's about how are you showing up as the best version of yourself confidently and engaging with people. But then as a leader, how are you building trust through your actions and behaviors over time?
That jives so well with what I teach new managers in terms of, you know, building trust, communicating well, and so on. That's just excellent. And I was thinking as you were beginning to speak, you talked about how vague it's been to define executive presence, and I just thought, well, I'll know it when I see it. You know, I bet people get that a lot.
Yeah. Well, and I think one of the great questions to ask people is, who is someone that immediately springs to mind when you think of someone with executive presence? We all have those leaders that we've worked with in the past. But if you put people in the room and they're all thinking about that person that they think of when they think of executive presence, they're going to have a lot of the same characteristics when you start talking about adjectives. But then it really is that relationship over time. So maybe they make a great first impression and they keep up those impressions, but they keep them up, right? And it is their integrity, their values. And so you do know it when you see it. You know it when you experience it.
Yep, I would agree. And I love how, you know, we don't necessarily want to model ourselves after one person.
Right.
I remember teaching a presentation skills course and one of the participants really wanted to be like Ronald Reagan and tried to adopt Ronald Reagan's mannerisms. And I said, well, wait a minute, yeah. you're not Ronald Reagan. And he says, how do you know? You've never seen me speak before. Well, I know you're not Ronald Reagan. Mm-hmm. Be yourself, be genuine, be authentic.
Mm-hmm. And authentic. That when I teach executive presence or coach around executive presence, but specifically in classes in executive education, you know, the idea of authenticity always comes up, right? Are we putting on a persona, as you said, are we putting on this persona that's not truly who we are? And for executive presence, that's why I love the study. It was a study from Australia that was done probably about 10 years ago, but it's the one that came up with these 10 characteristics of executive presence. The reason I love it is because of that evaluations over time. You have to be authentically who you are in the best version of yourself and aligning that with what's important to the organization or what's important to that position that you seek to have. But if it's inauthentic, you're not going to be able to keep that up.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not acting.
Right.
Yeah.
You can only do that for the short term.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's exhausting. Mm. So now that we've explained the what, let's talk about the why. So why is it important to be perceived as having a high level of executive presence?
I'm going to tell you about a research study. Because this is where I love, you know, like academics, a little bit research can really kind of inform at least how we apply these things. There was a survey of over 400 CEOs, corporate communication executives, and professional development professionals. Out of those 400, 89% said that the perception of high executive presence absolutely contributes to career advancement, right? That 78% said that a perception of lack of executive presence holds people back. So we know that it absolutely contributes to getting that next position, being seen as a leader. Because the thing that you do, right? As an individual contributor, you were really able to focus on what your work was. As a leader, as you move into management and leadership positions, you're getting work done through people. And so as you're getting work done through people, those people who are making decisions about that next level of leadership for you are looking at, can they bring people along? Do they inspire people? Do we see them as having that executive presence? So that people are finding them trustworthy, they're following them, they see them as an expert in the field, but also kind of that visionary. And so that's why executive presence really matters.
Yeah, and I can see for a new manager, starting that early in your career, super important to opening doors to senior roles and director level and so on all the way up.
Yeah, and the other thing is, as you said, kind of seeing it earlier in your career, really taking stock of like, how do people perceive me now? What are adjectives that other people would use to describe me currently? Mm-hmm. You know, what would management or the C-suite, what are those adjectives they would use? What about colleagues or direct reports? To really kind of have a sense of self-awareness around that. And those adjectives can be positive, but then let's look at, okay, next level, right? So let's kind of project forward to that next position or how you want to be perceived. And can you elevate those perceptions or those adjectives in any way? And so really being strategic and intentional about it. And the earlier you start, the more you can really start working toward building those perceptions that once again are authentic, but you're really kind of always in that self-development mode. Right? That we have to be constantly learning and constantly developing.
Yep. Totally agree. 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's drill down a little bit. Tell us the characteristics of executive presence. What are we seeing when we see somebody with high EP?
Okay. So those initial first impressions are, they consist of projected confidence. So think about you're meeting someone for the first time. How do they walk in the room? Eye contact. Do they look self-assured? Also, status and reputation. In an initial contact, status and reputation a lot of times precede people in the room, and we're attributing executive presence to them just because of their network or their role. And so once again, status, reputation, projected confidence, communication ability. So are they able to communicate clearly, simply, compellingly to an audience? Engagement skills. So are they engaging? Are they meeting, greeting, talking to people in the room, feeling confident around individuals, bringing in those voices? And then the fifth thing is that appearance aspect. And a lot of people get hung up on appearance because they feel that it's being prescriptive, and it's not. So stop thinking about executive presence means that you need to have on a power suit and you need to look a certain way. But what it really, in the research, what it shows is that it's about personal grooming. It's about looking the part, whatever the part is. And a lot of that has to do with organizational culture, right? So what does that look like? But it is about looking put together. You can have your own style, but looking, well-groomed. And I always love that dress for the part you want, not the part you have. Not bad advice. And so those are the first five that make up those initial or first impressions. And so when you think about individuals that you've met for the first time that have impressed you, you can kind of click down that list and think, yeah, they walked in the room like they were, meant to be there. And those are great skills that we can actually learn how to improve, how we're feeling confident and comfortable in a space. Maybe we have a hard time engaging with people that we don't know. We feel insecure. We have imposter syndrome. All right. So what can you do to start developing to make that better? So this is just the first five.
Yeah. Well, now I'm intrigued.
You didn't say anything about those?
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm intrigued. I mean, walking, one of the things I talk about in my presentation skills course is, owning the room and not being arrogant about it. But, for example, when somebody comes to my presentation skills course, they sit where the student seating is, and then I have the front of the room, right? And I invite them all, come on up and come up here and get used to being where I'm standing, and move things to your liking. Like, this is your room now. You decide. Mm-hmm. So just even that little mindset shift of, it's not Eric's room, it's my room. And I don't like that chair there is something that helps a little bit.
Yeah. And also I think as we're talking about people who are earlier kind of in their leadership careers, being really self-aware. So thinking about your nonverbal communication is huge. A lot of times we don't know how we are showing up. And so being aware about how you are moving through a space, what are you doing with your hands? Are you making eye contact? Are you smiling? Learning those things, how to improve them, which we absolutely do in presentation skills training, right? Mm-hmm. But there is a great video on YouTube. So your listeners can find this on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we'll make sure that I'll send you the link so you can post that as well. But Joe Navarro, he is a former FBI agent who is a nonverbal expert. And he has a video on YouTube on confidence. So Joe Navarro is his name, and it's on confidence, and it's about a 15-minute video. But it shows politicians, actors, athletes, and how they move and kind of own the space. And even the idea of owning the space and timing, like taking your time, not feeling rushed, all of that. So if people kind of want to look into what are all the aspects of those skills of projecting confidence, that's a great resource to go to.
Perfect. Well, yeah, shoot me the link. I'll make sure it's in the show notes. And I'll watch it for sure. That sounds really interesting. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
So do you want me to move on to the other five characteristics of executive presence?
Ooh, yes. I thought you were just teasing us.
Oh, no, that was just... Okay, the other five, and this is why I love this, this study that was done out of Australia. Those five, those evaluations over time have to do with personal integrity. So one of the examples that they gave for that was, remember in the first five, it was engagement skills. So in those short-term impressions, you're meeting, you're greeting people, you're talking to them, you're getting to know them. All right, so an example of personal integrity is you remember the last conversation you had with someone. You remember their name so that they know that that engagement was genuine. Another is values and action. So you say that you have, as a manager, as a leader, you have an open door policy, but you really don't, right? Or you say that you are open to feedback, but then in meetings, you kind of shut voices down. And so people want to see that the values that you say that you're holding are the values that you're exhibiting. Outcome delivery. Mm-hmm. So are you delivering on the things that you say you're delivering on? We think that's pretty easy, right? And then also expertise and intellect. So you've gotten to a position of management or leadership because you are good at something, because you know, or you should know now more about it. And so people want to know that you are that resource that they can go to, that you have the information that's necessary for you to have. And then the last thing is not really, it's the opposite. So what they said in this study was executive presence doesn't always have to be positive, that executive presence can actually be negative. And so what you don't want to do is exhibit coercive executive presence. So think of someone who had a big presence, who had a strong presence, but that presence creates anxiety within the team, right? They use coercion or micromanaging to the extreme. They call out people in front of everyone else. And so we want to make sure that we're not that type of strong negative presence. So those evaluations over time, what's great about that is that you can actually shift people's perceptions of your executive presence. So many people in your audience might be saying, okay, well, I've already been a manager or leader, and people have these certain perceptions of me now. How do I shift those perceptions? Well, the reality is that you can. You can think about, okay, where am I currently? Where do I want to be? How do I want to be perceived? And how do I start exhibiting through my attitudes, through my actions, through my language, those behaviors and actions that move them toward seeing me in a different light? So that's the positive.
Cool. Do you have a bonus five, or was that it?
No, that was it.
Okay.
That was
right
10.
On.
It was 10. Sorry.
Okay. That those are really helpful. Yeah, and I'm excited to see the video that you referenced to see what that looks like.
It's awesome. I love it.
Well, my last question for you, Alexa, is strategies for developing executive presence. So we've talked about all the little pieces, the 10 types and so on. How about developing it?
Yeah. I think this is just a really exciting aspect, is that you can learn executive presence and you can elevate your executive presence. So what you are now is not what you have to be. And that is really exciting, because I think that earlier on people thought that there were just those people who had it, right? That it factor, but it can be learned. So once again, thinking about taking courses like presentation skills, because communication skills are a huge part of executive presence. Think about every single time that you get up to give a project update, lead a meeting, give a presentation. That is an opportunity for that audience to see you as credible, to see you in the light of kind of authority, and how you manage that communication opportunity is crucial. So really getting involved in professional development, developing those skills, being more self-aware, asking around. I love this. Here's a great activity everybody in your audience can do on their own. You ready for it? Okay, two questions. Number one, if I were to ask everybody, if I were to pull the people around me up, horizontal, direct reports, for adjectives that they would use to describe me, what adjectives would they use? So I ask people to write down three adjectives that they think others would use to describe them currently. Then I want them to project, like, what is my best self? What is that position that I want to really attain at some point, right? So kind of that projection forward. What would be three adjectives that I would most want others to use when describing me? So my current three and the three that I would most desire for others to use. Now, they can kind of be the same, but what I find is that people say, okay, well, one of my adjectives is that I'm thorough, but I really want to be seen as strategic, right? So it's just an elevation of those adjectives. And then thinking about how can I display that? So professional development, self-awareness, and then thinking about opportunities that they have with their team to really build that presence. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, last kind of tip, there's a great book. Carla Harris wrote Lead to Win. I don't know if you've read it. I know you've got your own books, all that good stuff. But I love Carla Harris. Her second chapter in the book, Lead to Win. So you can probably find this online somewhere. It's on Amazon. But in that, she talks specifically about perception as the co-pilot to reality. And how do we create perceptions of ourselves as leaders? And she walks through different steps about using language. So I want to be seen as strategic. So I'm going to start using language about the things that I do as being strategic, right? Just simple things. But reading that chapter is a great kind of tool to think about how other leaders have created those impressions about their leadership and built relationships and trust around those impressions.
Excellent. Right on.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Lots of nuggets.
I'm all about executive coaching too, right?
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Well, right. So let's talk about that. Tell us about your personal and executive coaching on EP.
Yeah. I love working with high potential individuals in organizations, people who really know that they need to develop those leadership skills and might feel that a little bit of imposter syndrome. How do they get to that next level? Working with individuals to think about the perceptions they're currently making. How do they shift those perceptions? How are they strategic about them? How are they making perceptions in person? How are they making them virtually? Now that so much of our organizational communication is virtual, we really have to think about our space and how we're showing up. So I love working with professionals. Once again, through training, through coaching as well, it's just, you know, and we look at the best executives, CEOs have all been coached, right? They've all had a mentor. They've all really invested in their own professional development.
Yeah. And what's nice is coaching is becoming more democratic. So I used to offer coaching to employees, line level employees at the last job I had.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's good.
And I think organizations are, and they see the value. And so they're investing in coaching for their people.
Excellent. Good stuff. Well, we're going to try something new on this show. I'm going to introduce a new section. And this is your question to me. So I gave you a little bit of time to think about this at the beginning of the show before we hit record. So do you have a question you want to ask me?
Okay. Well, I'm thinking about, because you're working with people that are really in that manager space for the new time, and that's they're newly in that space. What do you think is the biggest challenge? What is one of their biggest challenges in kind of getting them to shift into leadership?
Well, I think the word shift is exactly what I'd say is the challenge. So a lot of times folks are promoted from an individual contributor role into a management role, and they're not really psychologically prepared for that for that shift. And so they don't make the mindset shift from I am an individual contributor and I get rewarded for completing tasks and managing myself to I'm a manager and a leader and now I get rewarded for getting results through others. So that's the biggest thing I see is folks kind of hang on to what's comfortable and what's known. And in times of stress, they double down on that. And so that's what I did when I became a manager. When things got stressful, I just went back to, well, I was a really good program manager, so I'll just do more program manager stuff, which was 180 degrees the wrong thing to do. So that's where I see a lot of folks get stuck. And then you ask them, well, where are you spending your time? and they're doing a lot of individual contributor work because they're afraid to delegate. They're afraid to let go. They're like, look, I can do this faster. I can do it better. I'll just do it. And then they wind up with just, they're overloaded with way too much stuff to do because they haven't learned how to effectively delegate and shift that responsibility.
Well, and you answered the next question that I was going to ask, which was, because I found this too, right? Is it difficult for people to recognize that they need to delegate and that it's okay to delegate? Because I think that would one of the challenges be that people don't want to, they feel uncomfortable giving people work? I mean, they've always done the work. So are they comfortable kind of giving those instructions to other people to do the work, or do they feel awkward about that? I don't know. So what do you think is that hang up with delegating, other than they know they, you're right, they know they can do it. They might get it done faster than trying to communicate to somebody else, but are there other issues with delegation?
You know, a lot of it, I think you hit the nail on the head. A lot of folks are afraid of overloading their team. They don't want to be the bad guy, the bad gal. They don't want to be the person who gives people work to the level of having to work overtime, you know, 40, 50, 60 hours a week. I don't want to do that to my team, so I'll just do it. So there's that wanting, that protective instinct. It's like, these are my friends, these are my colleagues. I don't want to overburden them, so I'll just take it on. And I think what happens a lot in the classes that I lead is that folks get permission to delegate. It's okay to do that. And if you're afraid of overloading your team, then go through a collaborative goal setting exercise where out in front of everybody, everybody's goals are there on the mural board or on the physical whiteboard, and everybody can see the balance of work. And as the manager, you have prerogative to rebalance things so that everybody's got the same amount or just about the same amount, so that you don't feel like one person's being favored over another. So it's small steps like that that really help new managers go, oh, okay, I don't have to do all this myself. I can actually let some of it go. There is some grieving though, because you know, if you're promoted, you know, let's say I'm promoted from being a webmaster to being in charge of the webmasters, and that means that I can't really get my hands dirty in HTML and CSS like I used to, that might make me sad and feel bad. So that's something else that you have to allow people to go through, is a little bit of grieving where they have to let go of the old, where you were responsible for these tasks and things that you got joy out of, to doing something a little different.
Well, and I see that, but I just want to say, I love your process of putting them in a room and doing that, because it reduces the uncertainty, I think, for everybody in a team to see what everyone else is doing. And it gives the new manager or leader, a process, a kind of a task to work through, where it's being done out in the open. And then the team doesn't feel like they're just arbitrarily getting work here and there. So that's great.
Yeah. Thank you. That was a fun question. Thanks a lot. That worked really well. I'll keep doing it. Well, it's time to close. So thank you, Alexa. What a marvelous conversation. If folks want to learn more about you, how can they find you?
Yeah, I welcome anybody to connect to me on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is my space that I'm primarily on. I'm incredibly responsive, so feel free to connect to me. I know I've got the follow button, but also the three little dots. So if you click on the three little dots, you can go down to connect. If you want to direct message me, absolutely fine. And if you want a PDF of just the characteristics of executive presence, you know, questions to ask yourself, I'm happy to send that free of charge to anybody who'd like it.
Beautiful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And everybody, thank you so much for listening. Please do subscribe to the show and connect with me on LinkedIn. You can pick up my book, Lead Like a Pro, The Essential Guide for New Managers. It's available on Amazon. And the first two chapters are free on my website. So go to GerardTrainingSolutions.com. You'll hit the pop-up and you can have the first two chapters in exchange for your details. If you'd like to chat about how I can help you or your new managers, please drop me a line via the website. We will catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Management Development Unlocked. Want more? Get a ton of insider tips and tools at GerardTrainingSolutions.com.